What is up, everybody? I am Nicholas Beckham, and this is my podcast, Rebel Roots. I am a transgender man who is a life coach slash spiritual and mindfulness teacher. This podcast is a safe space for trans and LGBTQ plus people to come together and connect through our strengths and vulnerabilities, talking about the difficulties that we face, along with what makes us stand out and come together in mindfulness, connecting through our personal stories and experiences, bringing awareness throughout the whole entire community. In some episodes, I'm going to be talking by myself about my personal stories and experiences, and in other episodes, I'll be bringing on other amazing people from the community on all different walks of life, talking about their personal journey. I want this to be a safe space for people to come together and bring forth change through our awareness, connecting through what makes us all so different. I'm so excited to be a part of this journey with each and every one of you.
This is Nicholas Beckham, and we are on episode 2. I am super happy that it is December 1st. 2020 is almost officially over. We have all made it up to this point, and I'm really proud of us because it wasn't promising at times. Last night was the full moon slash the partial lunar eclipse. It was super powerful. I could hardly sleep last night. I was just kind of in this mentality of just go, go, go. I was ready to get some stuff done that I had been working on for a while. I had one of my photo shoots last night, and that went really well. So I was kind of going through a lot of photos. Really good times. But in this episode, I have been doing a lot of thinking about it. And with the last episode, I brought into fruition of how I have got to where I am right now with being trans and with kind of my story up till that point. And today I want to talk about how I got to where I am right now as a coach and kind of the things that have shaped and molded me to be able to have that be something that I really wanted to do and my intentions behind it. So, you know, I can say that back in the day, I've always been such an extra little kid. Even as a kid, I was always out and just really trying to be my best self and do all of these things and make big moves. And, you know, I was always making people laugh. I was a weird little kid. I was extra, to say the least. And, you know, through my time, I remember I worked at American Eagle, and that's kind of where that was one of my first jobs. And a lot started with me there. But I knew when I was little that, like, everyone would come up and be like, you have such a big calling on your life. You know, we were, like, brought up in the church. So everyone's like, profound. Like, God has so many, like, big things ahead for you. Your story's going to be massive. And I just kind of always had that instilled in me. And so I don't think that I ever really questioned my success. And I'm really grateful for that. You know, I'm really grateful that that was one thing that I did have going for me. I had a lot of hard shit happen, but that was one really massive blessing in my upbringing. And so I knew that anything I really put my heart to, I was like, well, I'm going to succeed at it, so let's do this. And I remember, you know, as something stupid as credit cards, I remember we were told at American Eagle that there was massive incentives if we sold people these credit cards and had people sign up. And I was just mind blown that, like, people were getting, like, at most one, like, at, like, crazy amounts if they got two. And I was just walking in, and I just had this way of connecting with people and just being like, yo, you get to save, like, 25% off on all of your clothes today, and you could just cancel this thing. Like, I had the best way of just being able to, like, talk people into it. And I was getting, like, 20 to 30 credit card signups a day. And I actually got a shout out from the regional manager of American Eagle, and I went around to different American Eagle stores across Colorado and was teaching people how to sell credit cards. And so I just think it's funny that when I look back to that time, I just really knew that people would say, like, you know, you could sell someone, like, a pile of shit and, like, make them think it was gold. And so I just wanted to do that authentically. And, you know, over my time of working, I've done some really cool things. I've been able to travel. I've gone to, oh my, I think it's been close to like 15, 20 different countries all over the US, been all over the States. I got the opportunity back in the day to be able to go and buy diamonds from the site buyers down in Antwerp, Belgium. And that was such a magnifying experience for me. I know that it's not, I never really believed that the jewelry industry was my end all be all. I love what a diamond stands for. I'm super spiritual and I really do love crystals, but for me, a diamond doesn't, we give it a lot of credit as far as the value of it and like rings, but I really hold true to the value of a diamond and what it goes through. I mean, all minerals go through this, but a diamond is one of the strongest minerals. The way you cut a diamond is by another diamond. It's that strong. And so when I was down in Antwerp, I would get to watch these people make every single hand cut. I mean, these stones are, I don't want to make this whole podcast about this, but I really do believe that this is, it's super cool. They would take this mineral, this uncut raw mineral, and they would make the first cut and look inside of it and see where there was the inclusions and see where, you know, how, what's like, what shape, whether it was round, oval, princess, whatever it was, and what the size of them, with making it the biggest stone, the brightest stone, the clearest stone, and looking at just the immense amount of pressure that it takes to form a diamond. I really do believe that it's really, really, really cool. And so one thing I was going through is we would get these mass parcels of just loose stones that would all be kind of a similar cut or grade. And we'd go through them. And if a diamond is cut to exact proportions, it will have hearts on one side and arrows on the other when you look inside of it. And it's just, it's so fascinating to me to look into this and to have such a cool experience and an opportunity with that. And I actually took that momentum and I was able to really go to these jewelry shows. My father's a jeweler. He actually owns a jewelry store and hand makes. I mean, he's an incredible man with how he makes all of this jewelry. But I got to meet some really incredible people at these jewelry shows and got some really good connections with some very, very successful jewelry designers. And so I started designing and was able to go over to Hong Kong, China. We were in Shenzhen, China, and over in Thailand. And we were able to sit down and work with designers and talk about different things and work with fair trade factories. And that was, it was such a cool opportunity. And I owe a lot to that because I really do believe that that jump started me in, you know, the realization that I could do so much more. And traveling, that gave me a whole new perspective of traveling. If we want to talk about mindfulness, I mean, I was raised in the church of knowing that, you know, people, a lot of people traveled by going and being missionaries. And there's nothing wrong with that. But I came from this upbringing and this outlook that people in third world countries or people in poverty stricken countries are in need of us to come save them because we're from America and we can save them and we can teach them about God. And I really believed that going over to Southeast Asia was going to be kind of the farthest thing from myself. And the exact opposite thing happened. And when I went over there, I realized that it was probably one of the closest things to who I really was deep down. You know, my roots, my connection. I just remember seeing these kids that had nothing. I mean, they were playing with dirt. They were playing with these rocks. They were playing with old tires. And they just were so full of joy. You know, these families offered me. I remember going down. We didn't speak the same language, but I would go down to this little, wasn't even, it was just like this little shack by the beach. And this little boy ran down and he had caught these fish like probably an hour or two before I had showed up. And he ran over and grabbed two fish and sat, like, gave it to his parents, and they all cooked this amazing meal. And we all sat together and we shared this meal together. And I remember the dad just kept trying to give me his food. And that for me was just so profound. It was such a profound moment of realizing that, like, I had so much to learn. I had so much to learn about this world still. And flavor, I mean, flavor of food and tasting things, I think that's a big part of what drives my soul and what I really truly desire out of life is freedom. Freedom to be able to have experiences like that, to be able to go. Ultimately, I would love to go out and just be in and work with, I say orphanage. It's not an orphanage. They're not up for adoption or anything, but it's villages and groups of people, these kids and women that have contracted AIDS and HIV in India, and they give them a safe space to really kind of formulate home. They give them, you know, food, clothing, they really get their hygiene back, they have schooling, and it offers them a family in a community that's really rejected them. And I know for me personally, I really want to, that's a big goal for me, is to go out and just invest time in that. And so I think my heart has been, although hardened, I was very hard for a while because of the experiences that I talked about from the last episode, whether it be sexual trauma, just my upbringing, not really feeling seen, the trauma of rejection from, you know, the church and gender association, whatever it is. But I was really hardened by that. And I saw myself soften over time, every time I would travel and have these experiences. And so a few years ago, I decided to kind of walk away from everything. Other stuff had happened, but I decided that I needed a break. And I just was so led to driving Lyft and Uber, as silly as that sounds. But I just knew, like, this is what I'm supposed to be doing right now. And it gave me such a profound opportunity to connect with real people. We, as a society, have so much and are lacking so much at the same time. I see that when we go into coffee shops nowadays, places where we would typically be able to connect to people, we don't have those opportunities anymore because so many people are on their phones, they're on their laptops, they're doing work, they're doing whatever. And that's okay, but I really see that there's a big need for connection. Social media has given us a lot, but taken at the same time. And so what I found is when I was driving Lyft and Uber, when I was in my car, I wasn't able to have my phone, clearly. I mean, it was in front of me and I was looking at it, but it gave people the knowing that they had my undivided attention. And with that, I got some of the coolest stories. I mean, people would just open up to me. They would tell me so much about their life and about their days and about their families and about what they wanted and their dreams. And at one point, I was actually being called the Uber Buddha because I was just having such profound experiences every single day. I was working 7 days a week, and I was working probably from about 5 o'clock in the morning. Sometimes I'd even go out at 3 a.m. and I wouldn't get back home until like 5 or 6 at night. I was just, yes, it was exhausting at times, but I was so abundant in what was happening around me and the conversations and the connection that was happening around me. And it really gave me this touch of freedom of being able to not work, you know. I know that society teaches us that we really have to work a 9-to-5 to be successful, and I was being successful and I wasn't doing that. And I've never really done that. And so it taught me so much about myself, you know, and our intuition is really almost everything. I really truly feel strongly about that. But I remember there was a few times, and I'll share a few stories, but there was one time I drove up to this truck stop, and there was three massive guys. three massive trucker guys. And they, I was like, okay, well, if I'm meant to die, here we go. I lived a life. And I remember they just got in my car, and I drive a Jeep. It's not a small car by no means, but we were shoulder to shoulder, and the guys in the back were shoulder to shoulder. And the first thing they asked me was if I had a gun. And I'm just sitting here like, why would you ask someone like this? Like, at this point, I'm presenting very, like, feminine. And I just like, what? Ended up that they were just kind of teasing around. They had, like, the greatest sense of humor. Not at that point, but after I learned them. And they would leave their families. And they would go and they would drive trucks. And these three guys became each other's family. And they would sing a cappella when they would come to these truck stops together. And so they all three sang me Somewhere Over the Rainbow. And I remember just like, who are these people? Like, I ended up turning off my app and we all went and got a beer together. Like, such amazing guys. And I met a number of businessmen that tell me that, like, you know, they really opened up and saying, I have it all. Like, I have the success. I have the family. I have the job of my dreams, but I'm miserable. And I just, over a large amount of time, I just really found, I found clear lines of where and what people are seeking. And if I can be someone that people find and can hold their truths and confidence with me, like, I'm going to take those opportunities. And I really found this heart for being a coach, being able to speak. I've never really been afraid of being in front of the camera. I've never really been afraid of public speaking. And I've never really been afraid to share my story, share my truths with other people. I know that that's what brings us together. And so there was one, this is probably one of the biggest, there was a lot, but this one stands out to me for sure, especially with what is happening in the world right now. And before I go into this story, I want to say that as a trans male, I feel privileged. I feel that there is privilege in that because society puts so much on masculinity that being a trans man and being able to take testosterone, I mean, testosterone is such a powerful hormone that it's changed my physical appearance, my voice. And I know that trans women, a lot of the times, have more of a struggle there. And so I want to establish that. And I also know that I am Turkish. But I look and appear very white. I've never, ever, 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 ever had any problem based on the color of my skin. And right now in the world, there's so much injustice happening. And I will never be able to understand that because I've never had to go through that. But I stand by everyone that does. And I have a voice that I speak out for those things. And this story actually gave me, it was probably about 3 years ago, gave me the foundation for that. This really started me understanding at that point that I think it really changed my perception because being raised in the family that I was, privilege was really what we were raised in. Being trans, I mean, yeah, I've lost a lot of that, but I still hold a lot of privilege. And it's something that I want to use to be able to have a voice for those that don't. And so I picked up this woman. She was, oh gosh, she was such an amazing lady. But she was from Ethiopia, and she had just come from one job. It was in the middle of the day. She had worked overnight. And I was picking her up, and she was going to go work at an Ethiopian restaurant with her family for the rest of the evening. And so we, you know, she got in the car, and we started talking a little bit. We started talking about food, and things always talk. Like, when you talk about food, things come up. It's so crazy how food connects so many people. But we kind of started talking about her other job, and she was a caregiver with elderly people in this care center. And she just, her whole demeanor changed when she started talking about this place. When she talked about food, she just seemed really alive and happy and connected and felt like she was a part of something. And when she was talking about this other job, she just kind of got quiet, almost bashful in a sense. And so I was like, well, what is it like? You know, what is it like working there? And she just stopped me and was like, I have a question for you. I was like, yeah, what's up? She goes, why is it that these people can forget their families? They can forget who they are. They can forget their own stories. They can forget their own values. But yet, they don't forget that they hate me because I'm black. And that left me thinking so hard and for so long about what I had just heard. I think that society, these societal injustices, these societal, I mean, this stuff is so ingrained in us from what we watch and how we look that it's like, it's no doubt that people aren't actually seeing and playing it like it's not that big of a deal because it's not actually happening to them. But these things are real. I mean, this is massive. And I believe that us standing up, and although it looking in whatever way is happening right now, and with COVID and things are hard with this, I believe that our voices are really being heard. And things aren't always going to look pretty. You know, they have to go through these. But I remember that moment just sitting there and just realizing that I just didn't actually understand anything. And that shaped me coming to a place of stopping and saying, before I speak out and say that this is, although some things might be my truth, it's not everyone's truth. And I want to be able to connect to as many as possible and really be a voice for as many as possible and use my platform to be able to honor and bless others. And I know that that's kind of where this desire has come up in my heart. And not only for me to show up in a way for other people and be able to be a voice, be able to have conversations with trans people, but to be able to learn. Be able to learn other people's stories so I can then better me and better my reality and better shape my community and be able to offer that to the world in a sense. I know I'm just one person, but I really do believe that if we come together, we band together and we're unified, big, big, big things can happen. So that is, I mean, in a 22-minute podcast, that is my story. That is how I got here, and that's just kind of touching the surface once again. But I think that those are really some of the biggest moments that I've gone through that have shaped me into being this sensitive being, in being mindful in those ways, and really trying to just not always say that I'm right. I'm not right. Like, I know that. I know that I'm always learning and always evolving, and that's what I love the most. I had actually read a post that I had posted 2 years ago, and I had just kind of, it was when I was just getting my momentum of just like really wanting to, like, oh, I know I'm gonna have a business, but like, you know, not knowing exactly where to go with it. And this post pretty much said, like, I'm going, whether you're coming or not, whether you stand behind me or not, like, bye. Like, either be or go. Like, I'm not doing this. And it was so aggressive and so angry. And I just look at my little wobbly legs then. I knew I wanted something, but I was so scared. And so I was coming from this aggressive place, and strength I found is vulnerability. I mean, strength is mass amounts of vulnerability, and vulnerability is terrifying. There's so many moments in a day sometimes that I'm just like, okay, no, I have to walk into this vulnerable space. I'm terrified, but I know I have to do this in order to gain. And I just really want us to hold space for those moments, and wherever we're at right now is exactly where we're meant to be. I know that although I'm moving in a positive direction, I'm just beginning. And I know 2 years from now, I'm going to look back and be like, oh my gosh, little me. Like, oh, you've grown. And I think that that's why growth is so beautiful. I want us to go every day and get closer to our dreams, get closer to what really aligns us. I think so many people are living lives where they're out of alignment with their value set, with their moral set, and they're so far from their dreams. I think this is why we disconnect so much, and Netflix is such a big thing for us, is because we want to escape. We don't feel like our reality is really something that we can tap into and feel all this, you know, abundance or this expression of adventure. And we can't necessarily afford it, or we don't have the time for it. And so we escape it and we live someone else's life, which is a fantasy. And then that becomes a fantasy verse and like molds and shapes our dream reality. And I just really urge us to all, you know, whether it be from a coach, or this is one thing that I do, is help people get to this place where they can live, you know, have a solid work-life balance and really be able to get closer to living a life fully in alignment with their moral set. But we really, I think, I want to hold each and every one of you accountable to really waking up in the morning. You know, I know there's a fact that there's a reason why you're listening to this right now, right? Like, people don't necessarily reach out or do things or look for coaching if they feel like their life is just in perfect condition. And even if it is, I think we still have things to work on, you know. But I really urge us to wake up in the morning, and before we get on Facebook, before we get on Instagram and start scrolling, just to check in with our bodies, check in with our breath, check in with who we want to be in that day, how we want to show up. There's going to be things that take us, and there's going to be things that make us angry or upset us or make us sad. But how are we going to use those moments, or how are we going to work with those moments to be able to give us the jump start that we need for our success and for getting to our dreams? So many are settling right now, and it breaks my heart. Because I know that we all have a purpose here. And our differences are what gives us the head start in being able to drive forward. I mean, if we look at the state of the world right now and how broken it is, I think it really a lot of the time has to reflect with how our internal state is. And so if we come together and individually work on getting our minds right, and that's another episode, maybe the next one, I'm not quite sure yet, but being able to talk about mindfulness and how our minds work. But if we can really start there, I believe we're going to start seeing some really big changes. So I do want to end this podcast as I spoke about in the first intro. I'm going to record a Nidra session. I say Nidra. I don't know why I do that, but it's Nidra. And I, whether you want to be a part of that, and whether you just maybe are driving and you want to listen to it and try it when you get home, that's 100% okay. But I do want to be able to offer this. I want to be able to offer a platform of something that someone showed me that I find extremely beneficial to myself, and gift that to all of you. So I just want to say thank you. Thank you so much for being a part of this journey with me, listening, and just really being mindful in this moment together and really connecting. I want to send blessings to each and every one of you. Thank you so much.